You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the cool again, stupid.
Are we live?
We are live, sir.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Surprise!
We got some people in the chat already. Yusef already yelling city. Come on, man. give me a chance, will you? I'm trying to find, this does not work, man. I'm trying to find date added newest. Oh, here we go. Now I can see the chat.
Yo.
The chat has arrived.
Yo, Koopa with the curls. Not technically on time. We were about 13 minutes late.
This is on time-ish.
Late.
I feel like we're close enough.
It's close.
Listen.
Close enough.
We're on European time.
Oh my God. All right. We were just looking up information for the rundown, and we looked at who's going to be available for the City game versus Arsenal. We'll talk about it. Neither one of us are happy unless your name is Miguelito. obviously, welcome to the Cooligans, baby.
Yes, sir.
Our last episode without Christian. But nobody cares because Christine Kupo's here. Give it up for Christine Kupo.
I really hope that I have adequately filled in for Christian. And if not, lie and give me 5 stars on the review that we eventually send out.
Absolutely.
Ah, we back, baby.
Super sub Christine Kupo.
Yeah, let's go. Alexis had the same look. You went live as you did with a surprise being sent to the Arsenal game. I was a little frozen at that moment when I found out I was going to the Arsenal game. And I was also frozen when I found out William Saliba not going to be there. How am I going to be there and you're not going to be there, William Saliba? You get paid by the team to play. By the way, I got some inside information. It's really not a lot of inside information.
Okay.
A friend of mine sells high-end jewelry. Met them in London. Okay. Sells high-end jewelry to a lot of Premier League players, one of which...
And you got me something?
Yes!
For my tenure here at Cooligans?
Here's
Thank
definitely
you.
Not a fake chain. no, it turns out one of them is Saliba. So they messaged Saliba, hope you feel better, would love to see you at the City game. Saliba wrote back, pray for me. Now, unless you are Drake writing lyrics, pray for me is not a good thing to say in the DMs.
Listen, the stretch of time now that's passed since he last played has become increasingly worrying because now I'm starting to think it's not just a little muscular thing. It sounds more like it's probably like a disc thing. Now, this is speculation, but as somebody that has actually done their back athletically, not right. in the Alexis way.
Yeah. Mine was also athletically for me, you know? If you grade on a curve. You curve, playing yeah. your eighth game in a day because yeah. you can't say no to when someone goes, we need a girl. You want to play? Because you have something to prove to something.
To me. to something my heart that happened. And soul.
No, but me getting off the subway seat, is the same thing.
Same level of athleticism, for sure. But I once did do my back. Well, actually, what I'll say is I thought I had a small muscle pull, went to the orthopedist, convinced him because I was in the middle of marathon training and also playing at least 5 days a week. To inject me with lidocaine before we tried cortisone and test it out. Now, what he told me to do was just go about my day. What I actually did was have him inject me full of lidocaine so I couldn't even feel my own tongue, and then went to go play soccer. Oh my God. I was on field for 5 minutes, twisted the wrong way because lidocaine makes everything numb,
yeah.
and incapacitated myself so badly that I couldn't walk.
Were you out there like, pass it to me?
Yeah, I'm on your right. Yeah, no, it was bad.
Look at behind you.
I legitimately ended up in a back brace, not able to barely walk for a few weeks. So I hope that Saliba is doing much better than I was at that point. But the length of time that's gone by at this point makes me worry a lot. like a lot, because if he's not back now and he's out for the next two matches, does that mean?
At this point, if we lose the city, which I hope we don't because I'll be there and I don't want to be sad. But if we lose the city, then I'm just like, yo, put my guy on the shelf until next season.
Well, yeah. The thing is, I think right now we are playing a very high stakes game of do we really want this? Like,
this is what I'm saying. So, look, we're both Arsenal supporters. We're both Arsenal fans. So,
no, no. When I say we, I mean I am definitely on the roster as a player.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You also would say no. With no tongue, you're just sitting there drooling at the end of the bench. And they're like, I don't know if she's allowed to play. She wasn't on the roster, but here she is. She's volunteered. I think, look, at the end of the day, I'm going to look back at this season, regardless of whether we finish first or second, and think, one hell of a season. Yeah, it's a missed opportunity if we don't win. We were at the top for so long, but we're also the youngest team in the league. You know, people were saying we'd be lucky to finish top four this season, and here we are talking about we have a shot to win the league by winning at City. And that's really all you can ask for. And I'm not even trying to spin this as like a positive, bro.
No,
this is really who I am.
Facts, I'm extremely proud of this team. I think they have it. I think there are still things to work through that
couple
you could
pieces missing,
attribute
obviously.
To youth, right? Yeah. Like, we're all idiots.
I
didn't
say attribute to you. I'm like, yeah, you're right.
Exactly. You're definitely the jinx. We already established this.
If Thierry Henry says you're the jinx,
I don't know what to say.
Thierry Henry is only causing drama before he gives me a spoiler. That's what I think. Right? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You know when you're like
the drama before the storm or whatever that saying is?
You ever get a gift and you're like, the real gift is coming though, right?
So it's the box in the box in the box with the key in it to the other box?
I got you though. They're like, you didn't get me a Rolls Royce? Is the tie, baby girl?
But
a tie for a dude who don't
wear suits? This team is actually really strong, and I'm proud of them. And it's been an amazing season. It will be really, really unfortunate if this is the way they slip to second. But everything that they've done in this season thus far is admirable. They've overperformed in a lot of instances. It's unfortunate that now they're underperforming. They have three straight draws. We have injuries.
Not
where,
losses, though.
No, not losses, but
we haven't taken an
draws where they shouldn't be draws is what I'll say.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
right?
For sure. Southampton, West Ham, come on.
Very disappointing in that respect that they do feel like losses. However, right. Not losses. If they had been losses, we'd be way out at this point, right? It's bad. The signs are all pointing to not so great.
Right.
Now, the last match, a lot of things went wrong. Some things went right. They had almost no shots on target the entire second half until Odegaard managed to bang one. That's not the ideal, right?
Yeah.
Like at all. Like they're scraping by like by a hair, and that shouldn't be where they're at mentally or physically at this point in the title race.
No, and I like to think that the team, you know, just not was not set up specifically to win the game. And, you know, it shouldn't have to be against a team like Southampton, which is why it's so frustrating. But I think at the end of the day, what I can sit there and say is you bring in players like Leandro Trossard, the game changes.
Yes.
You give Odegaard a little bit more freedom, the game changes. Partey, and I have no proof. There's no data I have to show you that what I'm saying is true. But it feels to me like why Partey hasn't been himself with potentially an injury. Right?
He was, in the end of March.
Yeah.
He was injured. I mean,
but potentially he may not be at the City game, which is not great.
Which
but
the problem with that is when you have an injury and you still have the desire and you can fight through it, odds are they're going to let you fight through it.
Right, and you're not your best.
Right.
But also, he's got Rob Holding behind him. And I'm not here to pile on Rob Holding.
I'm not going
to
beat up on Rob Holding.
No, but
because
he doesn't
he's
have
what
the pace
have
to recover like William Saliba.
He's what we have right now. And what I will say is, like, Rob, if you're listening, we believe in you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we need you to find all of the dog that you can muster in your person.
We need you to make a comeback like your hairline, bro.
Yeah. No, we need you channel Saliba to the best of your ability.
Remember looking in the mirror and that hairline of yours looked like a T? Remember that joint? And now look at you. You got the hair
Like, I'm not going to trust Alexis for my motivational talks, but
luscious. locks, bro. You've got Kupo hair right now, bro.
Honestly.
Yo, you went from Mr. Burns to Kupo. I'm saying we need you to do the same thing on a pitch. We need you to Kupo-ize.
Kupo-ize. Or like Saliba.
Yeah.
Saliba, but I'm not really a defender.
Or can I make a suggestion? Yo, bring in Kiwior and go three at the back. Give me Ben White. Give me Gabriel Magalhaes. and give me Kiwior. Bro, please. If we gonna lose, let's go lose. Let's lose swinging.
I'm like, let's lose big. No, that's not the saying. Let's lose with dignity. No, I would like to see them win this. This would be, I think this will be the pivotal match that gives them back the confidence they've lost over the last three matches.
The truth is, the only person I could see stopping Holland on this team was Saliba, and now that's not happening. But look, if we lose, I'm not sitting here saying we bottled. There's no way. Look, if you say we bottled this season or bottled the league, maybe you have a point, but I can't say that. It's through injury. It's not like we bottled it by playing at our best. If City beats us, they beat a team that didn't have our best players on it, or defensively.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So what'd you really win, Pep? You didn't win nothing.
I'm glad that you're like hyping this up.
Asterisk,
bro. I had already said weeks back that this would be sort of the deciding match for Arsenal this season. So
it's a title fight. When you want to go into it, you'd rather have this. It's not like by dropping points to Southampton, we lost the league.
No,
we win,
but it would have put
win.
Us in a much better position. Had
What's
we come
the better position?
This,
what, we have a little bit of a
9 points
wiggle room?
Instead
then
of
we
three.
Could lose at City? You know what I'm saying?
Not that we could lose at City, but that it would have less of a impact overall on the rest of the season.
Forget it.
Not,
we go in.
Not as great.
We go into their house.
I don't think that I want this to be.
This is Sparta, Kubo. I need you to get on board. 300 versus a billion.
I didn't
watch the movie.
I did not need this to be as tight as it's getting.
What are those 10 billion lions thinking as they're heading towards the sun? They're not thinking, oh, I wish Saliba was also here. They're thinking, I think we got this. Roar.
Maybe you need to like pop in, help Arteta.
Honestly,
the funny
I'm
thing
going
is,
into that.
I had actually heard an analyst say over the weekend, I will not name them, that you know they think that it's that Arsenal are too emotional, and I'm like,
bro,
huh?
Do I look emotional to you?
The fan base, yes.
Now
not
my
the
mother
squad,
going,
not the
no,
okay.
That means I'm not yelling.
Okay,
like, really? Because here's what I'm saying, bro. Look. I don't have a lot to pull from athletic and sports base wise to give you inspiration, but here's what I'll tell you. I have a friend named Nick, okay? Now, Nick was by himself, okay? Saw a car window open and thought, I'm gonna reach in and grab money, right? Because there was a bag there. And he did. And you know who was behind him? Three police officers. Now, that man was outnumbered and clearly in the wrong. And you know what he did? He ran. Okay? And guess what happened? He ran so hard that those three officers one by one dropped off. And he won.
So you're saying
he
we just have
away.
To be fast.
We was outnumbered. Okay? This is my version of
be
300,
fast.
The movie 300.
300, okay.
This is Sparta, Newark edition, okay? He ran into someone's backyard where they were cutting hair, and he jumped over a fence. And you know what the dude cutting hair said? He went that way and pointed the wrong way.
Nice.
That's it. He got away. And by the way, it was only like $7.
Okay,
it wasn't a big score.
To
okay?
dispense this in football terms, Alexis thinks that we need to move swiftly and use a bit of a diversion in our tactics
yes.
to win over City.
What I'm trying to say is sometimes you could be outnumbered, and as long as you try real hard, you'll get away from the play. I mean, you'll win. Kirby D said, so are you a witness? I mentioned running in this story. You should know I had nothing to do with this.
He didn't witness anything but the takeoff.
All I'm saying is I think we have a chance. Okay, let's be honest. I need you to be Kupo. I'm your friend. I'm like, bro. Yo, he won't text me back. I'm like that Kupo version when your girl says, yo, he won't text me back, but you knew he wouldn't text you back the whole time. Okay, so I need you to be that. I need you to be reality Kupo. In a couple of weeks from now, end of the season, where is Arsenal? Mind you, Christine Kupo is an Arsenal supporter.
I'm less confident this week than I have been in prior weeks that we'll win the league. I am starting to get on the side of worried. I think that the team that we need to show up is at least 3 weeks back.
Yeah.
Saliba is a massive hit. And if anything, that should be a lesson in what needs to happen over the summer transfer.
Also, he's a kid.
He is, but that's another thing, right? Like, you hope to God that he's actually okay.
Right.
And can First rehab and foremost, whatever it is, right? Like, that's number one. He's so young.
He gets back on the pitch.
And he's certainly someone to build a defense around, which is great for the long term in terms of how they've set things up. But if we are this down bad right now, where his absence is this deeply felt across the board. I mean, this is a few other aspects of the side, right? Like our team's been a little bit shaky in other aspects. We've got bigger problems that need to be addressed in the transfer window when we get the opportunity. With that being said, I think that if they dig deep and somehow find that chemistry that they had and the confidence, we're great, right? We need Saka full steam, Odegaard full steam.
So on a scale of 1-0 to 100 percentage-wise, mm-hmm. where were you the moment we beat Bournemouth? Where were you on, we're going to win this league? What percentage would you say? You like 80%, 90?
I was up about 97.
Okay, 97. Yeah. Where are we today?
I'd say I've fallen to about 92.
Okay, so you still think it's going to happen?
There's a chance that it could happen. It's just
92
that
is like a strong chance it's going to happen.
I hope.
Okay.
From your lips to the gods' ears, I hope that they manage to see it through. I just think that it's going to be a lot more of an emotional roller coaster for us beyond this point.
I was
kind of really looking forward to watching a match without gripping my sofa until fingers pierced fabric.
Order the new sofa now because you're going to have holes in it.
It's exhausting.
I'm going to be there. So I was hoping.
I'm so excited for you and also very, very jealous.
I'm really not. I'm looking forward to it, but I'm also not looking forward to it. In the sense that, you know, like I like these situations. This is really what I would ask for is like, you know what? Give me a game where if I win, I'm in. And I did it. You know what I mean? Don't give me this. Well, the math has to work out. This is it. If we win, we goody. And that's all you could really ask for. That said, I was never really ever above 80%. On this show, I've refused to say we're going to win the league. I've said if and when, mm-hmm. but I've never really said we are the rightful owner of it.
That's
and
a
this
safe
is
bet.
Ours.
I think
it's always been, but I'm
safe.
Always like, I don't count the chickens until they hatch. That said, right now, if I was always at 80, right now I'm at 50, maybe even slightly lower, only because of I understand how important these players are to play the system we need to play. Because if one piece is missing, and again, you mentioned, you know, depth. That's
very
a huge
fragile.
Issue. So hopefully that's answered in the summer. I was proud of the signings we made in the winter. Let's see what happens. All I know is I'm going to be in the away section, so I'm going to be around my friends and chilling. And when I want to be around my friends chilling, you know what I drink? A little Coors Light. Huh? Amazing segue, by the way.
Bang, bang.
Sometimes, you know, the days they can get so crazy that you forget to make a little time for fun. And that's going to be me in Manchester City, bro. It's going to be so crazy. I'm going to need a way to chill. And you know what I grab when I need to chill? I grab a beer. But I want a beer that's cold, that looks like it was made to chill. It was made while cold, packaged cold, delivered cold, and I want it to be cold. So how do I know that? Well, there's a little blue mountain on that joint that tells you it's cold. Cold, refreshing, crisp. Absolutely amazing. It's the only beer that's literally made to chill. That's Coors Light, all right? That way, the mountains turn blue, so that way you will know it's exactly time to chill. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. I can't say chill anymore because you guys are getting the picture. It's absolutely incredible. Look, when you want to relax with your friends, you want to look, you have to stay on, right? All this social media we do, all this media that we do, right? We have to show up. We have to be 100. You know what I mean? And sometimes I just want to chill a little bit. Kupo, when you kick your feet up, is there anything better than a cold Coors Light?
There is not.
Absolutely not, baby. So get yourself some cold Coors Light. When you choose to chill, pay your plans with a nice cold Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. That's CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado!
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Robin wants to know if we've run out of cold Coors Light because someone forgot to put them on the table. I actually drank them all when I walked in. Yeah. I started pounding them like stone cold. Just
we do have a couple left, and some are cold. But yes, we don't need to drink it all the time. Because then this next segment would be us crying on each other's shoulders about Arsenal. Jason Nick said, is Charlie Davies an Arsenal fan? He's a massive Arsenal fan. Same as mine. Cool note. This is another reason why you should watch the show watch the show every day on CBS, Paramount Plus, Golazo Network, 7 to 9 a.m. This is going to be his first Arsenal match.
Ooh. Ever?
Ever.
Oh my God, I love this for him. No, I get that. And also, I want to preface this by saying because I don't usually say that's not usually my first line when somebody says it's their first ever match. Because, one, it's very elitist to assume that everyone's had access to be able to go to a match live.
The kid played in Europe.
However, when it comes to Charlie, I'm surprised. I just wanted to say that because I don't want anybody to misunderstand. I usually defend people aggressively when I'm like, so what? It's their first match. And they're like, elderly. Yeah. It's like not everybody has gotten a chance to travel the world or go to matches and do those things, but I'm hyped for him. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm really excited for him. And hopefully that brings us some
hopefully luck. It's some good luck.
Yeah. I've gone to a lot of games. I've been blessed to go to a lot of games.
Some virgin and they've Arsenal never IRL
lost.
Eyes.
Yeah. They've never lost while I've been there at home.
While you're there.
But they have lost while I've been there away.
I love the videos, when like a little kid walks into the stadium and sees it for the first time. Can you film one of those for Charlie just like as he goes up the steps and sees the arena?
I mean, we'll all see it on Morning Footy because we're going to have a videographer with us. But it's a great point. But I just wish it was a home game, for him not to get to go to the Emirates for the first time.
Yeah, that'd be tough. It's true.
But maybe this brings us luck. Yeah, and maybe I wasn't supposed to say that he's never been to a game before.
No.
And that's a big part of the conversation on the show, but who cares?
Okay. Consider it a preview.
Fire me?
Preview to the preview.
Oh my God, I just got fired.
Preview to the preview.
Oh my God, this is going to be tough. But look, we're going to talk about Newcastle versus Tottenham. Okay, for those of you who didn't see, this is my absolute true story. I said first 10 minutes, it's going to be kind of a boring game, right? A little back and forth. So I went and I made myself a coffee. And then I looked at my phone.
How long did that coffee maker take?
It was about, it took me about 10 minutes because I meandered a little bit.
Okay. I'm just trying to, mentally tick mark.
I put on the machine. It makes a bunch of noises, right? It's one of those, it's a super automatic. So it's got that touch screen. You press the button and it will make you whatever you want.
Yes.
Right? So I put it on, right? It's doing all the sounds. And then it made the beep, 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 which means it's run out of water. So I got to take the water container. Right? I had to do the whole thing. So it took me about 10 minutes. Most of that was deciding if I should make myself avocado toast because my wife made guacamole. And then I saw toast and I'm like, bro, I could steal.
So you have a little bit of capitulation time built in with the coffee making.
Right. Okay. There was meandering. Okay. So I sat there and I go, yo, should I still have her avocado? Right. Or her guacamole? Because she made it. But I'm like, bro, she don't need all this. You know what I mean? And plus it's me. She won't be mad if I have. Right. And then I decided not to. So I made myself the cup of coffee. Does the whole sound. Right. And then I walk over, and as I'm walking to the living room, I decide, let me flip up FOTMOP, and I see 3-0. And I go,
love that app.
Oh, FOTMOP is broken. So then I sit down,
FOTMOP's drunk. Somebody input the data wrong.
Bro, I put on Fubo because it was like the game was on Universo, right, or whatever. Like, it's also on street on the TV.
Yeah.
So I put on Fubo. I go, oh, Fubo's also wrong. So I switch to try to look it up on Peacock or whatever, and then I just put it in Google. I put Tottenham in Google and it said 3-0.
Spurs, okay.
And I was like, bro, how is it possible that it's 3-0? 4-0? And it just kept going. And I couldn't even really enjoy it. As much as I dislike Tottenham, you enjoyed it. I could see from the look on your face. It was hard to enjoy.
Listen, I wear all of my emotions on my face. I can't hide a single thing, which is also why I don't bother
and
lying.
I'm a petty Betty.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You'd assume I'd be prepared for this.
My thing is the implications of having a match go this poorly for their placement in the table and otherwise, knowing that Bournemouth and Liverpool are both behind them with matches in hand. I got a little giddy. I'm not going
to
lie.
No. I mean, afterwards, I kind of giggled a little
bit. But, I mean, and then we had, just as I arrived, I find out that Christian Cellini
yeah.
got canned. So like you're what interiming the interim at this point.
But it was a note from Daniel.
yeah.
And it's about him firing the character. What about you, Daniel? In the beginning, he says, I take full responsibility. In the end, the responsibility is mine. But you ain't firing yourself? You just sitting in it and be like, yo, responsibility is mine. And damn, that was embarrassing. So yo, I fire him. You know what I mean? It's kind of messed up.
That's
and you know
the way. Most, the you worst know, part like, is. The things fall downward from the mountain.
Yeah, dude.
Not
shit.
Up.
What is it? Shit goes downhill? No, shit slides
downhill. Slides down,
yeah,
rolls down the mountain.
Rolls downhill. Bro, you got to, well, see, eating it. That's probably not the right term for a shit talk. But, I mean, if by the end of the first, of the 20, of 22 minutes, you've got two players on a hat trick with braces, you messed up. You messed up big. Look, the Tottenham fans, to just talk about them like they're any other club, Tottenham fans have been begging for a back four, begging, screaming on the internet for a back. And look what happened.
And look what happened. Right. And
they hung five on you with your back four. Even even Newcastle was trying to give you a hint. You should go back
to back. I won't say much. The nicest thing that I'll say in defense of Spurs fans is that they are not the first fan base to call for some line changes and system changes and inevitably have them go abysmally.
Yeah.
Okay, like it happens, right?
This is why fans ain't coaches.
Largely, right?
Yeah.
So Stellini tried it and it went so poorly in every way. And, you know, like that's kind of to be expected. If you never played with that system before, you want to flip to a back four, fine. You think, hey, let's try to be a little bit more conservative here. If you're not used to playing like that, you're going to disrupt the entire rhythm of everyone on the pitch.
I felt bad for Pape Sarr. I just looked him up. He's 29 years old. I don't feel so bad anymore. I don't know why I thought he was younger. But Pape Sarr gets what? He gets substituted in the 23rd minute. That's not a good look. That's not a good look if you get substituted in the 23rd minute.
Fake an injury before you get substituted.
Yeah, dog. Yo, tell me in my ear, dog, so I can save face. Hold the back of my leg. Yeah.
I did something.
Oh, my flux capacitor broken, bro. I need to get off this pitch. I will say that this is, if you're Antonio Conte, you're looking at the TV like, what'd I tell you?
He's on his Ryanair flight like, yes.
Yeah, middle
Listen,
seat.
I told you.
Cheering.
Conte can fix nearly anyone, and his managerial history suggests that. His priors, like, he swoops in, they win the league, or, you know, or better.
Everywhere.
Except for Tottenham.
Mourinho
and there's
wins
a
everywhere.
If you cannot fix Spurs, which nobody can at this point, nope. Unless you're an absolute sorcerer. That's what I'm convinced. They need to do some sort of like burn sage,
bro,
but also
gotta,
like exorcisms
gotta, like, Jesus
and otherwise.
Candles. You need every Thea
like, White Hart
in
Lane
a Bronx to light a
to,
Jesus candle. Yeah,
I don't know. An entire like acre of candles. Or whatever an acre is in England. Did it go by acres?
Ivan Perisic must be looking at this being like, I gotta get out of here. How am I stuck here? Just imagine your girl invites you.
So there's the other speculation now because of this massive ill, right? That this will be the end of Kane at Tottenham.
Okay, and it should be.
Right.
How old is Harry Kane? 30?
In my brain, he's always been 40, 29. But that's mostly because of his hairline.
Yeah, no, the dude's looked and sounded 48 his whole life.
Yeah.
If you're Harry Kane, there's no reason now. Regardless of who you get, you literally could get whoever. Who's the Sir Alex Ferguson?
You're like, who's the best they can get? Sir Alex would cackle and just like hang up on them.
Yeah, yeah, no. He'd be like, yo, you gotta give me
and
like.
And that would be like the first time anybody's ever seen Sir Alex laugh.
Bro, I get, oh, he is only 20. Okay, so that's why I felt bad for him. He's 20. Okay. Where'd I get 29 for Pape Sarr?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Maybe you added cane ears to him.
Bro, I'm out here smoking something because he is. Oh, he wears the number 29 shirt. I saw number 29.
It's okay.
He's only 20. Dude, this is going to kill his confidence. That was the point I made on the show. I'm like, I wonder why nobody called me out for that. He's 20 years old and you get subbed at 23 minutes. You get blamed. Mm-hmm. You get blamed. And after that, it was 1-1. I mean, that's a draw. It's not bad after you get come off. But that's because they went to the back five. But I can't think of a manager that says, yeah, I'm going to take this on. Julian Nagelsmann already kind of walked away from the Chelsea gig.
Oh, he very much did. He said, decline.
If
I'm
Chelsea's
good.
Too toxic for you, you ain't going to Tottenham.
In his defense, Chelsea are toxic. They just
they are.
Hide it a little bit better
so
than
Tottenham.
Right.
All right, if you
I
had
feel
a bar.
Like Chelsea have had the distinction of just being very... manic in terms of their management and that they will fire you. It doesn't matter if it's been like 3 weeks, 3 years, whatever, if things are not going well. That's kind of been their sort of albatross to hang upon their necks.
Right.
But Tottenham have had myriad other problems, and it's not like their front office have ever concealed the fact that things have always been a little bit off.
Yeah. Right? If you're like, Julian Nagelsmann, you're at a bar. There's two women sitting at the bar. Okay. Chelsea was a girl. First thing she said is, "Oh, you look like my ex." Right. He was a little crazy. So you're like, "Oh, there's already a bad start." You look down the bar and you see Tottenham. They got a knife in their hand and they say, my ex is coming home from jail tonight. That's the level of toxicity. If the one on the left was too toxic for you, you ain't going anywhere near end of the bar. Why would Tottenham? I can't imagine who Tottenham signed. Tottenham is going to have to find someone who is in the middle of a rehabilitation. Someone who this, I can't think of who this is a step up for.
I think it would have to be reasonably for someone to accept that job. It's going to have to be someone that is more of an up-and-comer.
Yeah, it's not that. We're not at that ilk of Conte, Mourinho anymore.
That doesn't have the lack of risk appetite in their career.
No, they need
that
this.
They're right, they that they're crypto. Climbing.
Right? Like, <couple NFTs. laughs>
maybe not crypto, you but know? Somewhere in the middle of the road there, legitimately, where it's like they've made some of their bones, but they haven't quite arrived yet.
Right.
Because this is an opportunity to them, not something that will essentially be a massive blemish on an otherwise really successful career.
I don't disagree, but who has that resume and would inspire Harry Kane to stay?
The main guy that I was thinking was bringing Mauricio Pochettino back. If you're looking for a little bit of an upper level.
I don't know why would Poch take that, though?
Also, did you know that Poch is still getting paid by PSG until he finds a job?
Which is
bro,
most
I
of
would
it,
never
yeah.
find
I
a job.
I did not
no.
know that.
He's
what
on
what
unemployment.
What?
So you're on unemployment. That's how I started the show.
From a contractual side, that's fairly typical for managers. If they're dismissed, they will be paid out for the tenure that they were initially contracted for, because otherwise it's a breach of contract
Kick
issue,
your feet
right?
Up.
With the Damn. Stipulation that if they take on another job, they're no longer receiving that severance. So the prayer typically, because this also happened with Juve with the overlapping payments to Sarri and otherwise, you pray to
refs.
God that they'll take that they'll take a job before they actually have to pay out that contract, which you're more than happy to live your time out on the beach.
So right now, PSG director of football is on the phone with Tottenham, like, you know, Pochettino said he wanted a, you should call him.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's the reality of it, is you want them to pick up another job as quickly as possible.
Kyle Ritchie said a name that said, Brendan Rodgers. Sean said Brendan Rodgers, not a bad shout, but I don't think that's not going to make Harry Kane stay. Justin Freiberg said Gattuso.
Gattuso would never take that job.
Also, didn't he just
he
fail
was
at
Sevilla?
Sevilla.
Yeah.
And now they're playing better without him.
He's a very fiery character, and I would die for Gattuso.
The guy who says sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit?
Yes.
Guess which one is the
but
one about Tottenham?
He would never, ever, ever, in any way, shape, or form, he would be like night and day.
Dennis Higgins said, with, yo, Gattuso would fight those players.
With not the players. Like, I think he's very good at managing players, though he's terrifying. I think he'd never, ever see eye to eye with that front office. There's
he
no
way. He would never
way.
Do the theatrics that Conte. He would do it on the in the training ground. He would say directly
right.
to the players.
He would do it directly to the players, yeah. which isn't an issue. The right. issue is that he'd never, ever have the same alignment with the front office. They would just never agree on anything.
No. He'd be like, buy me players that are no shit, but yes, are good.
Yeah.
Gallardo, who is, if I'm not mistaken, he's currently the River manager. That would be a step up for both Gallardo and for Tottenham, because I think Gallardo is an incredible coach. That said, is that going to inspire Harry Kane to stay on? The answer remains no. There's a few select people. I'm going to give you a name, and I just want to see Christine Kupo's reaction.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Okay? This is it. Can I get an ISO on Christine Kupo when I say this
okay,
name?
We got
okay?
it. We're locked in.
Now, real quick. Look, he's leaving his club. Okay, he's leaving his club. And he's probably the only person that gets Harry Kane to stay. Don Carlo Ancelotti.
Yes, that's the disappointment I wanted. Because it'll never happen, right?
But isn't that the only name you can think of that? The look on her face was perfect. The only, I suggest you watch that if you just listen
I'm
to
just
this.
I'm just going to have like an eye twitch. Aside from the part where
go for it.
Carlo Ancelotti has cool. already said absolutely not.
Right.
He has no interest in leaving.
Yeah, he
Madrid.
Wants to see out his contract.
Right. Respectfully.
Right.
And
good negotiation
I love him,
tactic,
right?
By the way.
perfect, right? Why would you want to upset the apple cart when you have something so, so good and a chance at winning Champions League again? Why not, right? No damn way. Just, I mean, even if he had the ability just like fare finta di, he wanted to maybe pretend that he could be interested in this. Right. I don't think he could fake it through. The other part is you have to relocate to England. So what manager wants to leave there?
It's still London. London's a fun time.
But you still don't have the weather. So let's say you want to take
one
of the like South American coaches that are not.
By the way, he's rumored to take the Brazil national team job. So, I mean, why would you take time over that?
Right, right.
You know.
But I think that even with that, there's that consideration too, is like who wants to move to England if they're not somebody that's already managing in the UK or otherwise.
Real quick, pull up the table because I just want yes or no. Because it's still, even with that loss, it's still kind of tight. Tottenham in fifth place right now, 53 points. Newcastle slid up to third. Aston Villa, that small club. I don't care what you write in the comments.
The villains now have dartboards that are
shaped in Alexis' face. I don't care what you write in that comment section, you small-ass club. When was the last time... The last time y'all won the European Championship, it wasn't even called the Champions League.
Can I give you something? The Villa fans who were in our mentions, the last time Villa won a trophy, I was not born.
Bro, and he was born in 1958. What's that tell you? You dusty Aston Villa. Y'all need this. Y'all better try to get in Europa.
For real, bro, for real.
You were trying to get back to your European glory. Get out of here, Aston Villa. Bro, by the way, I'll never go to Birmingham now. But last yes or no, Tottenham, do they get back up into Champions League in the top four position? And then second yes or no, do they even get into the Europa?
No.
No to both?
No and no.
Boom.
No, because as I mentioned before, Liverpool and Brighton both have games in hand. I think they'll actually end up leapfrogging them. Because who's even managing Tottenham at this point? What's happening? What's the direction?
It's that Ryan Murphy kid,
like,
right?
You're just going to try to like hang tight and see what you can do. Yeah. I don't see this going well.
I got another idea.
So what do you do?
Let Harry Kane manage.
Player
Bro,
manager.
Who can keep Harry Kane? Harry Kane! I am a Lucha, paid $10.
That's our boy.
That's our boy, Charlie. What up, Chaz? Mm-hmm. So that I would say this, I'm just here to wish my brother Alexis well on his trip to his own personal hell. That's dedication going to another continent to watch your team lose. Love you, bro. Also, put some respect on NYCFC. How about you watch the morning show? I put a lot of respect on NYCFC. I said Santi Rodriguez was my player that is playing the best in the league right now.
Santi's
player
on
to watch.
Fire.
He is
absolutely
a beast.
On
Welcome
fire.
Back from Uruguay, papa.
Yeah.
All right. So watch the show, my guy. I put a lot of respect on NYCFC. I just couldn't go to the game. What's the other subject we were going to talk about?
FA Cup semifinals.
FA Cup semifinal. These penalties rip my heart out. Only because I love watching United lose. I do want to talk about Manchester United in general.
Oh, so we're flipping to United. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, we already talked about City, but Manchester United, if you're a Manchester United fan, you did not, and there's no way you could have walked away from this match feeling inspired by your club. Brighton is a good team. You both played badly, though. The only thing you did better was the penalties. This was rough. This was a boring, boring game.
I might have napped through part of it.
I would be
allegedly
prouder of you if you napped through part of it.
I wish I had napped through. I watched the entire thing, and I was sitting there like, when is something going to happen? Just never happened.
I better talk about this on the morning show or the podcast, because I better not be watching this for no reason.
The volume of football that I watch, it's very hard for me to actually fall asleep during matches, but I really did fall asleep during this one.
This was bad. Look, Brighton, I think, is young. De Zerbi is an up-and-coming manager. I can see clubs trying to poach him. I have nothing but positive things to say about Brighton. The only thing negative or even slightly negative is you could see they were slightly out of their depth here. Mitoma, for the most part, if you take him out of a game, it seems like they don't have very many other options. I didn't see enough from the players surrounding him. Caicedo, I think, was trying too hard to make connecting passes. He was breaking lines, but balls would go nowhere. You know, it reminded me of my prom night. so dumb. So dumb. I hope you're laughing at that because that was very dumb.
One more and you go in timeout.
I was watching this game and I thought to myself, there's no way this team should be looking forward to playing a club like City.
No, not even remotely. If they play like they did in this match,
right,
City are going to just decimate them. Probably. Like within the first 5 minutes, they're just going to be like, final. Hey, have a cup of tea and do whatever it is that you think you should be doing because right. playing ball isn't one of them today.
Right.
It's going to be bad.
I mean, look, a derby for the FA Cup final, I believe this is the first time.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the first time that's happened. Absolutely. You know, for the scenes, it's great. You know, if you're a Manchester United fan, you have to be kind of worried. I mean, you are,
Arsenal are worried about meeting with City, United should be quaking.
They should be extra worried about right. meeting with City.
Like, they've had a very up and down season all in. There hasn't been consistency. There hasn't been the acuity you expect of a side that has otherwise a very good history behind them.
Christian Eriksen is back, right? He was looking okay. You know, Casemiro, you know, was able to play in this game because he didn't get a red card. All of a sudden, he's like, well, I didn't even know red cards existed when I played on Real Madrid. He's like, aren't we paying the refs here as well?
They do play differently when they have Casemiro.
Yeah, they do. And by the way, he is worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's worth it. I believe he's 31 years old. You know, not necessarily the guy I want to pin my hopes on. Eriksen died on the pitch once.
Yeah.
Not the guy you want to pin your hopes on. Bruno Fernandes, the least likable human being in the sport. Antony, I don't want to sit here and call him a bust, but you paid $100 million. He's got 4 goals and an assist.
Zachary Johnson.
Paid $10 for us to say, you can read this one.
Manchester United has the consistency of tapioca pudding.
It's a good bit. That's a good bit. By the way, I've never had tapioca pudding.
It's good. Fact. It's kind of like boba, but like creamy.
I'll take your word for it. I do like boba. I'm a boba guy. Jason Dick says, hey, Kupo, tell Alexis what acuity means. He doesn't want to ask. Fact, by the way. That is a strong shout. I just was like, nah, she'll say a different word later. I'm just going to keep talking.
I'll use the context clues, bro. It's fine.
It's all good. I'll Google it real quick. If I look at the team, Sancho, I still don't think he's been unlocked. I think it's maybe even time to move on.
That front three in particular has been bad lately.
But Martial has shown glimpses.
Done anything.
He's shown glimpses, but he cannot keep it together for 90 minutes.
Maguire.
And is what I'm going to say. That all didn't sound great outside of what we said about Casemiro. And now you get to what their backline looks like today. And bro, Dalot, Lindelof, Maguire, Wan-Bissaka. Juan Bissaka sounds like a Dominican dude who owns a bodega. Juan Bissaka. Oye, tú sabes Juan. Yeah, Bissaka. Juan Bissaka, who I like. I rate him highly, but literally has the speed to go forward, but doesn't know what to do when he gets there. It's troubling if you are a United fan to think you're in any way, shape, or form confident about this team going into a final against a team like Manchester City, who for all intents and purposes, other than the loss they're gonna face against Arsenal, are banging on all cylinders.
I mean, in the chat, who do you think is probably the worst of United's lineup right now? Like, you guys, I'll just let you beat up on people.
Even De Gea didn't look good.
I was gonna say.
This is not, I mean, look, I guess my question is, does Ten Hag get a pass for what they look like when they don't have their starters in there?
I think it's tough. It's his first year. I'm not going to go all in on Ten Hag.
Like, he hasn't had
right
very
now.
Much control over
come on.
Personnel.
He's had enough time. No?
Yeah. And I mean, the team is playing pretty well. Look at where they were last season.
I would say give him another transfer window to see what they're willing to work with for him.
He already bought his homies.
Ajax.
Okay,
West.
So outside of his homies. Yeah, outside of his homies.
They dropped money on Antony. That was his boy. I ain't seeing nothing out of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he hit the crossbar.
I agree with you.
But, I mean, he brought in Eriksen, right, who had spent time at Ajax. He brought him in.
But
he's
in all fairness,
well.
He wasn't paying a ton of money for Eriksen.
No, and should you? The guy's got 7 assists. He's played well when he's played, but the guy's 31 years old. And I don't mean this disrespectfully. He died on the pitch.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
we'll say
I'm just saying, as a player.
He has health risk is probably the better way to frame that. So, yeah. Like,
I mean, it's true. What I'm saying is true.
Right. What they've paid for him
right.
is worth whatever he's able to give. outside of that,
I'm La Lucha paid $2.
Right. So,
Man U
couldn't best the Little Giants.
great shout. This is for me, if you are a Manchester United fan, I honestly think you go into the summer with more questions than you had at the beginning of the season. Beginning of the season after the transfer window, you go in with even more. At some point, you have to ask yourself, if we can't figure out what Sancho's position is he right for this club? And for his sake, because I think he's better than this. I'm actually saying this for Sancho. You deserve to move on. Go find a place that would
find your true love,
you.
Sancho.
Yeah, yo, she ain't for you. She for the streets. Martial, done, obviously, with this club. Antony needs something to get him on that. And maybe that's a new number 10 because Bruno Fernandes made his name on scoring penalties and passing to Ronaldo. Well, yeah. Ronaldo ain't here, so show me something.
I feel like Bruno, though, also, like, even for the fan base, it's a love or hate relationship. Nothing in between.
Yeah, and rightfully so. Casemiro, yeah. Fine, you get to stay, but you're going to be even older next year. How are you going to be able to hold on? Right, and the whole back line needs a complete refresh, bro. Maguire, again, for his sake, bro, him and Sancho, I feel worse for Maguire.
Again,
though.
Like, hit Maguire or miss. It's on or off. There's no in-between. There's a lack of consistency.
Right. Lindelof is a good backup.
Lindelof, yeah. Like Maguire has matches where he looks really good, and you're like, hey, what the heck? And
I got then so scared really when you bad. Said Maguire's got matches because I thought you meant, like, fire matches. No. And I don't even trust him with matches, bro.
He set himself on fire.
That own goal off of his own head.
Yeah.
Against Sevilla. I mean, what a.
They need to definitely take a very deep introspective thought there at that club and figure out what needs to actually happen. Because I think Ten Hag's a good manager. I just think that obviously things have not fallen into place. The personnel that he has, maybe not his ideal. I don't know. But I mean, hey, if I could fix United, then hell, like, pass me the contract. I'll sign. Like, I'll be right there.
I mean, look, the good news is they're at 59 points. They got at least one game in hand, depending on who you're looking at. For the most part, it doesn't look like, I can't imagine. Liverpool is probably their only competition. Liverpool has 50 points to 31. Mm-hmm. So if Manchester United wins their next match, they're clearing them by 10 points. I mean, it's not going to.
I also don't think that United are terribly fussed about FA Cup. I think they're.
No.
Primarily focused on league play. It's not going to be a big deal either way if they win or lose to City for FA Cup.
But you want to win a trophy. That's
going to quell
the fans.
Of course you do, but like, what's more important? Staying in the top four or trying to stay in the top four or the FA Cup?
Also, for the purpose of signing new players next year, mm-hmm. you want to be in Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And people want to be a part
of
Manchester
United.
People want
to play for a Champions League side. Whether or not you have this like wonky season all in, which they have, right? It's still more appealing. And, you know, United are still United.
Right.
Right? You're not like, oh, I'm going to that bum club. Like
Bruno Fernando Fuentes paid, this is, by the way, his first Super Chat. Congratulations. He paid $2 for me to say Bruno Eriksen Casemiro lineup is undefeated.
I mean, I could go back and look. That'd be tough to corroborate.
Yeah, when did they all been together?
Let me quadro triangulate my data.
Twice?
Let me go back and look at every Manchester United lineup.
And look, they had a run. They had a run. That's why you're at 59 points. But how much do you really trust those guys next year?
I mean, inarguably, Casemiro in any lineup is going to be a boost. So I'm inclined to say, like, okay, you're probably right. Eriksen is still decent. Bruno definitely has his days.
Justin Freeberg said, not falling into place. They're currently in fourth in the Premier League. They have one trophy, the Carabao Cup, potentially another on the way, FA Cup. I don't think it's going to happen. Battling hard to keep top four. The season has been better than I ever thought, to be honest. It's true.
I don't understand the beginning part of the comment, though, because you said they're not falling into place. Like,
I said or someone in the chat
I don't know.
Said.
Yeah, I don't know. I missed it. But I think that obviously they're in fourth place. I think that the priority right now is to stay there.
But I think going into next season, you can't depend on De Gea.
No, I think that this summer needs to be pivotal for them.
Pull up their, click on Manchester United because I just want to pull up the names that are there. And I'm not sounding the alarm because I don't think they're going to get usurped out of fourth. I think they're going to stay there. Yeah, I know that word. for their keepers, they got Tom Heaton, who's injured, and Jack Butland. I'm not giving me much confidence there. Their defenders, go to the actual, just click on actual Manchester United because I just want to see the starting 11.
Sorry.
Yeah, overview. And then slide down a little bit. Oh, maybe it's in lineup. Go up to lineup. This is different than on the web app.
Sorry, folks.
I don't know where. Maybe it's all the way down. Scroll
squad?
Down. No. I don't know. Weird. All right. Well, I have it here. I'm just going to go by names. We're going to go backline. Currently, as it's situated, you've got Dolo, Lindelof, Maguire, Wan-Bissaka. Of those players, who are you confident? I'm confident, personally, in Dolo and Lindelof.
Yeah.
Kind of feel like they're more backups, to be honest.
Even though I definitely have Wan-Bissaka on my fantasy team. Don't ask. I think I ran out of money.
Yeah. That's what it was. $5 million, you're like, all right, I'll take a chance. Maybe there's a couple clean sheets. Eriksen and Casemiro. I trusted Casemiro, but he's getting older, and he's not going to be your Iron Man anymore, so you're going to have to get a good backup. Young kid, right? Eriksen maybe could still do it for half a season.
I feel like, depending on if the price is right, fine. But, yeah, I do agree. For Casemiro, maybe they can fund an academy kid that can kind of start to have him cultivate, right? Like, even if it's just in trainings.
Which reminds me, what happened to Elanga? Remember that kid was the truth last season? Yeah. Where's he?
Every season there's a kid that's the truth in every squad. Right. That you're what happened to him? And they're Januzaj. He's now working as a delivery boy.
Remember that kid, Adnan Januzaj? Yeah. They're like, this is the next Rooney. Where is he? We're not 100% sure. we keep texting him. He doesn't text back. So midfielders, more attacking midfielders slash forwards. You have Sancho, Bruno Fernandes, Antony. I hope for Sancho's part he's not there. But do you think he stays? Do you think... Are you confident with him being a player on this team?
I think I'm confident with him sticking in this side if Ten Hag figures out how he needs to be properly used and or who he needs around him. Because I think those are some of the moving parts that need to be addressed. Obviously, we haven't seen him as like a massive impact since he's arrived. So I guess the question becomes, how long do you let that run its course before you intervene and say, hey, this is not going to be the guy for this system? Or are we changing the system?
Bruno, I think, you know, no one likes him, but he plays the game well.
I think, again, Bruno is very good or bad. When he's brilliant.
It's just so difficult because you're 100% right.
It's challenging to navigate a player like that because you don't know who is showing up on any given match day, right? He's had brilliant matches and you have to defend him in that case, and I will too. But when he's off, he's very off to the detriment of the entire side. So, you know, like, yeah, you can make small errors here and there, but sometimes those small errors, they accumulate.
I'd rather see Marcus Rashford in place on the left in place.
Rashford
of
is another player who he's great. He's great. Right?
I can see him leaving too.
He's had dry spells too, where you're very, very frustrating. I'm like, I do words good. Yeah. Hello. But sincerely, like, I think Rashford's an amazing player, but we haven't always seen him be the amazing player he is.
So difficult. There's so much there going on. But if you're a Manchester United fan, I guess good luck. You know, I don't
Godspeed.
Know what else to tell
no,
you.
No, I mean, like, hang in there. Top four.
You know, obviously there's a lot of players we didn't mention. Luke Shaw. We didn't get to Malacia. There's a lot of players that we didn't get to. But just kind of wanted to give you an idea of what's going on there.
Varane.
It ain't looking good. Varane. Yeah, what? He's sitting next to Saliba on the bench.
Exactly. They haven't had the easiest go this season either, is what I'll say. So this isn't like the United just like roast for this time. I did that a few episodes back. I'm good. I do
actually
have respect for United.
No, the only ones we roast is that tiny-ass club, Aston Villa. You can send all the smoke into the comments you want.
It's going to literally just be like a screenshot of the show, like hanging up in the airport. That's like, do not let them enter Birmingham.
Birmingham rappers are going to send for me if I keep going.
The Peaky Blinders, bro. I'm worried about them. They're from Birmingham.
The Peaky
Blinders?
Yeah. Look out, Kieran or whatever your guy's name is. What's my guy's name? I forget. Last thing I want to talk about, though, is a more positive story. There's no reason why we'd ever talk about non-league football here on the Prem Show. But
here we go.
Two superstar actors have purchased a team, a little upstart called Wrexham, huh? And they went out and they wrecked some. You know what I mean? They won. They won. They're getting promoted. Very difficult to get promoted out of the National League. You got to finish in the top position to be guaranteed a promotion spot. We all watched the show. We know what happened last season. This season, they get the promotion in superstar fashion. Buddy, friend of the show, Ben Foster, saves this incredible penalty at the 96th
I'm
minute.
I'm sorry, but that is probably the highlight of Hollywood. Me watching. Yeah, you couldn't have even written that. Like, if you the wrote script that, I'd be like, so wrong. I'd be like, yo, wow, that's such a reach. But yeah. No, he, like, absolute hero.
Yeah, it was real Angels in the Outfield type shit, yeah. For those of you who ever watched VHS
especially since,
films.
Like, he has already, like, sort of diversified his post-playing career with, like, cycling and YouTube and whatever. And you're like, it's so nice to see that he's been able to do that. And then all of a sudden it's like, hang on. I'm not done. He's not done yet, folks.
Bro, he was on the morning show this morning, and he talked about he's not sure he's staying. I'm like, I heard you say to Ryan Reynolds, you staying. I'm if he texts you, you're probably staying. But it's a feel-good story. But there's also like this undercurrent of like eye rolling. Oh, it's only because they're on TV. This isn't real football. I think this is more of a sign to MLS. This is what you should be doing, is showing the people, the characters, the emotion, the good, the bad, the ugly. This is what you should be doing. There were watch parties all over the country for a non-league team. That just tells you that if you can find a way to connect people to the players, which is what Cooligans has tried to do from the beginning, if you can find a way to show that these people are human beings and get a way to connect with them that way, then maybe they'll care about what happens on the pitch, and it's happening.
Yeah, I have a lot of really strong feelings about all of this. I think that we're seeing, especially post-peak COVID, I'll call it, because it's a really weird encapsulation of time.
Right.
We're seeing a lot of new celebrity investors in various clubs, both domestically, abroad, and otherwise. I think that what Ryan Reynolds and what Rob McElhenney, am I saying his
last? You got it right.
Okay. I'm like, wait, I listened to that video, which his birthday wish was like 10 out of 10 with that song that none of us will ever mispronounce Rob's last name ever again. Again, they're very business savvy is what I'll say for them. Yes, they are actors and you can't avoid acknowledging that. But I think that what they've done for Wrexham has been so smart in every aspect, because, you know, you need the cash influx, you know, you have to raise funds. So it's like they partner with TikTok and other brands like that gets you at least solid footing financially so that you can focus on the really important parts of the team, which is the actual team at hand playing. I also think they've done a really good job of not trying to overshadow their own players, right?
Incredible.
So you
job
hit this very conscious uplifting of the players at hand, which is the whole point, right? If your interest is in a team, that's who you're supposed to be promoting. You're not, it's not this weird self-indulgent I have a lot of issues with that because I feel like it's not always in the best interest of the teams themselves to have these kind
Which
of people involved.
I get.
And I think that it needs to be very carefully curated. And I think that they've done that. They've made people care about this, not just soccer fans all in, right? It's almost like this weird Ted Lassoian effect where it's like they're not necessarily soccer fans, but people are so invested in the human interest side of this story. And with that, you now also have viewership, which you're not always going to pick up fans, you know, day one that are like, oh, my God, I don't know anything about this football thing. Like, let me get into it.
Right.
That's not the way it happens. Right. But if you can get it to happen organically and authentically, that is how you usher in new fans. And I think they've done a brilliant job of doing that.
Also, how many times can it play this card? You know, they got promoted to League Two.
Right.
Are these fans going to stick around to League One, Championship, Premier League, if those things happen? This might be a few seasons
in. I think that
it
ends up being a snapshot in time, right? You end up clearing this bar and you see, what can I do next? But will the same formula work season over season? Absolutely not, right? And you see that with other clubs that do not have necessarily the star power influx. It's not just the celebrity that's getting these teams there, right? Like, yes, you have the cash, but cash doesn't get you everywhere. You have squads that necessarily play money ball in a lot of ways when they get promoted because they do not have the cash or the ability to raise it as quickly, right?
They just got the promotion money.
They just have the promotion money, and you do the best that you can to patch in the holes in your squad and hope for the best. So with that, like, we see a lot of this, and yes, they've developed a community. They have new people that care. Obviously, there's always going to be some sort of attrition season over season, especially if they're not actually football fans. Right. But what they've done is remarkable. Like, I can't even be mad at it.
I'm not. And in fact, if anything, I think, and to a point you made, which is, there are people that are fans of Wrexham, not Wrexham Football Club, right? They're fans of the story behind it.
They're also fans of the Wrexham fans.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like, there's something that's both intoxicating and just, like, alluring about seeing people so, so passionate about something. And mm-hmm. that something happens to be something that you get to watch too, right? You get this extra filter of like, this is fandom. And this is why, especially in, you know, MLS and otherwise, they're starting to do a better job of turning the camera on the fans and the supporter sections. Because, right, because now they have the geography digitally to put them. But that was something that was missing. The thing is, if you want people to be excited about something, put the camera on the people that are most excited about that something and let them talk, right? Let them be the knowledgeable ones. Let them be the ones that would that have cried and sweat and bled alongside this team. And that's how
and show
you
them,
build.
Because that's how you build passion. Right. Miguel, pull up, go to YouTube and pull up a channel called Bunch of Amateurs.
Okay.
Which is, I only found out about this through the We Are Wrexham show. This is a team in Wrexham's league. They actually played Wrexham recently called Dorking. Now, that's not why I'm bringing it up. I don't know. You know, dork means whale penis.
I knew it meant penis. It's like, you can't call somebody a dork. Well, I don't usually use dork because sometimes it's construed as a curse word, but yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You can call me a whale penis all day. I'd be like, I'm not. I'm kind of a cool guy. But go up to, let me see how many subscribers their channel has. 61,000 subscribers. So the owner of this team is also the coach. He's kind of, he dresses like he sells used cars in LA. He's a bit of a wild boy, this guy.
He's the Savannah Bananas of England.
Yeah,
kind of.
He dresses like, you know, he's like, what are you, divorce? I'll handle that for you. What do you need? Payday loan? I got you. That's kind of how he talks and dresses. But they started a YouTube channel. This is like the low budget version of what We Are Wrexham is doing. And they've got 61,000 subscribers. Literally, camera guys follow everything that happens from the fridge being broken to, you know, something like everything, right? They follow everything. This is like what's drawing people to the Dorking wouldn't have an opportunity otherwise to promote their players or anything. This is the best they have. And obviously they don't have superstar owners. The guy is just like a local guy. But this is like, this is the next step. This is, to me, what the right step should be for an MLS team. This idea that it's about what happens on the pitch is fine for football fans. For everyone else,
oh
and if you
God.
Want to create new football fans,
Dorking
this
have
is
Dorking
how you do it.
Till I die shirts. I need to invest.
This is what I've needed in my life. Dorking till I die. Find out how Mark White's Dorking Wanderers. So it's not Dorking United. It's Dorking Wanderers, which is a wandering dork is scary already. Team, get on in the National League after that dramatic playoff win, final win. Okay, so that
but
was.
But these
months
are the
ago,
kind though. Of hooks,
right?
That you need, right? And it doesn't have to be overcomplicated. It doesn't have to be big budget. It just needs to be.
Right. If I work at MLS front office, right? I don't look at We Are Wrexham and go, why didn't they buy a team in our club, in our league? I sit there and
find
go,
out
what
ways,
did we learn?
Right. What formulaically would work for us and how do we apply it? I'll go one step further because I feel like something like that kind of a phenomenon would actually map a lot better onto NWSL.
Yes.
NWSL desperately need the eyeballs on.
This is my
next
point.
And this is like as a, I'll call myself a retired marketing person with way too much experience. If I were to give free advice to NWSL, it's tap into that.
Yes.
Tap into all of that, right? You have personalities that emerge naturally, right? Take a Sidney LaRue. Take a Trinity. There's so many.
How many owners
right,
does Angel City have? Not one of them has a production company?
So, well, that's the other
thing,
right?
They all have production companies.
It's great. Yeah. It's great that we're seeing the investment in women's soccer, finally, in this country. But what I would like to see, one of my personal gripes, is I'd like to see fewer celebrity faces and more of them uplifting the players. I don't need it.
I want the players playing second fiddle to the celebrity owners.
I want more of that bolstering behind the women's soccer players because I still feel like they don't get the respect that they deserve. And I think that we need more of a spotlight on them. As a female soccer player.
I think you're talking about like the median, right? Because the top is like national teams
across
the world.
But I also feel like... And this is going to happen no matter what, whether we want it to or not, because, you know, the clickable things that media outlets that are not focused specifically on soccer are going to pick up the, you know, like, hey, Natalie Portman's standing on the touchline again kind of things. I want less of that. I want more of who's actually the best on the field, what actually transpired,
right.
What's happening. I just feel like with women's soccer specifically, they tend to get overshadowed by the investors, and they do not need to be.
But I do think the investors bring more eyes to the league, and I do want to read
that. However, I think that what they've done with Wrexham needs to be considered better than what
because
we're
they
doing
put themselves
domestically.
On even playing field. Yes, and
because
that's the important
part.
Yes,
you are using your celebrity to your advantage, but you're also still boosting up all of those players.
Right.
Without diminishing them in some way.
Right.
It's not like, hey, come to the Celebrity Fest soccer game. It's, hey, come play blah, blah, blah. Like, yes, like, do Ryan Reynolds and Rob happen to, like, lean into it where they'll joke around, they'll get people to come out and be essentially pitchy salespeople? Yes. But that's what you should be.
That's what you should be. Look, Zachary Johnson said two things. One, he paid $5 for me to say, do you think MLS tries to hide controversies rather than lean into it? And I will answer that. But at first, I want to read your previous comment, which is, I hate to say it, but Alexis is right. So I think that's the most important. You should have paid for that one. But I will say, do I think MLS tries to hide controversies rather than lean into it? Absolutely. I think clubs are doing a better job of using the things that are already in social media as fodder for more social media posts. So we're kind of slowly getting there. But I
think that's a little bit of the TikTokification.
Right.
Because you have some of these like snark accounts or, you know, not the spicy accounts. I don't miss that. I never enjoyed that. That was always a little bit weird. But where you are allowed to have more of a sense of humor around things. I think LA Galaxy, just to shout out their social team, does a really good job of it on TikTok.
Just Adam Serrano. They're killing
it. There are certainly squads that get it, that really, really get it.
And I think beyond controversies, because certainly, like, you know, certain things like the, you know, the racist stuff that's happening with, you know, Daniel Van Zaire and all these old things like that. Those things don't need to be made into a joke or made into given any more spotlight than it already has. But outside of obviously punishing the player, yada, 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 right? That part we all agree on. I think like the human stories, you know, like, this player, like, we all cared about Patrick Mullen wearing the shoes to honor his son, who I think was just diagnosed with autism, if I'm not misspoken. Hopefully I'm not mistaken there. But there was that story, and you got to see it play out in real time and see how it affects these players and see how these players are able to carry on with playing this game they love while having some real, real issues happening at home. These are the types of things that we want to know more of. You know, leagues across the world, it's not just MLS, but MLS we always think of as like, yo, you were the first ones to have VAR. You're willing to take those chances. Take a chance here. Do something like this. It wasn't the National League that
I
did
think
this.
That,
it was Rob and Ryan.
I think just generally in the States, we have this sanitization of sport where you don't want to see like the missteps. It's like, ooh, that's our gaffe. We hide that, bury it quickly. And we do have to kind of just be like, hey, yeah, like,
I've made
this
my
is the
career
weird stuff.
I'm
that
highlighting my mistake.
I know. I'm just saying, like, the stereo.
You can't take that away from him, Koopa. That's all he's got.
It's literally my thing, you know?
It's my thing. No, I think that that's something that in the past and present day, they've shied away from because
it's
from its inception, it was like we are trying to construct this thing that's built on this emulation of other established leagues, right? That was like early MLS 1.0, which makes sense, right? And it's sort of evolved into what it is today. But I think we're finally in the reality of let us be our own weird thing and accept our quirks, right? Like lean into it, make it interesting. But yes, for all purposes, like lean into the passion that people have in the country, because that's the part that's contagious. People will always fall in love with the romantic storyline. You're never going to miss that. Whether you like MLS or not, it's always going to be a hook for other people in other leagues that hear a story about a player otherwise. And that's why we need such compelling storytelling in football.
I want to read Enzo Adriani. Shouts to you for a super chat. Paid $10, $9.99 for me to say this. MLS and U.S. soccer.
$9.99.
Right? Yo, you got a discount, bro. MLS and U.S. soccer. By the way, it's a whole paragraph. I should charge you double. MLS and U.S. soccer cannot become Wrexham with a TV show. In Europe / South America, they have love for these clubs because the clubs are part of their lives. Generations of supporting the same club heritage. Did you not hear when I said a non-league club has become popular in the U.S.? Wrexham ain't got no heritage here. Wrexham ain't got no teams here. Wrexham ain't got no story here. And now you got people all over this country worried about whether they're going to get promoted or not. Thank you, Enzo Adriani. I get your point, but the point I'm trying to say is
you're tapping into an emotion and a time and a place.
That supersedes the fact that your grandfather was a River fan.
Yeah.
That supersedes the fact your great-great-grandfather saw Portsmouth's first match.
That supersedes all of that because you get to see human beings on a reality show, and there's nothing Americans have more. It's a part of our heritage to root for human beings on a reality show.
I think it's overly reductive to say, you know, U.S. soccer can't become Wrexham with a TV show. That's not what we were suggesting at all.
Because the drama, Enzo, said, why is it a compelling story?
We need to turn our focus more toward telling the stories that have not been told previously because there wasn't the investment in American soccer, both the men's side and the women's side.
Right.
Now, with that being said, MLS has tons of history. Tons of history, as well as U.S. soccer. And if you ever, like, shouts to Pablo Mar, like, if you want to follow at MLSist on Twitter, like, he's one of the best, one of the absolute best that has covered, you know, historically things that have happened in the game, even, like, the goofy stuff. But there are tons of stories that haven't been told.
And Enzo made a good point using what you said. Enzo, Adriana said, Kupo said she loves seeing how people truly love a club. Here's the thing. In TV making, you have to give them a goal, right? That's whatever it is.
And also, like, to that point, like, yes, I do mean that. You do need to show people that do genuinely love their club. But to imply that people in the U.S. don't genuinely love their club when MLS has been around since the 90s.
But more important, promotion had to be explained on that show. Promotion and relegation had to be explained on an entire episode on that show. The average fan watching that show does not already know what it is, does not know the immense passion behind it.
Right.
That said, the goal can be winning the NWSL Championship, can be winning the NWSL Challenge Cup, can be getting in the playoffs if you're an MLS. Whatever you set that goal to and you direct the drama towards, that's going to be what the fans attach themselves to. It's not necessarily the, you know, the decades long is, you know, fandom is an easy story to tell. But to some degree, fandom exists already, whether it's NWSL or MLS. You just have to find those stories and you have to show it on TV. And all I'm saying is, if you take anything away from this Wrexham, Kupo's made some great points. I think I've made even better points. I'm just saying. No, I think we all agree. The same thing is show it. Show the human stories. Show the passion behind wanting to win as a player and wanting this team to win as a fan. And people will be drawn to it. Enzo, you actually made some great points. I'm not trying to crap
and
on what you're saying.
Youssef,
you made great points.
Pointing out that TFC, now I know that Toronto did that. I'm not trying to erase the fact that some sides, like including Sons of Ben, have done stuff and made strides for their relative MLS sides. That doesn't say it hasn't happened before. What I'm saying is we're moving more toward the feasibility to do that, especially with the Apple deal, to uncover a lot more of these stories where more eyes can get onto them so it's dispensed more generally.
Right.
And to Alexis's point, you're not telling the stories necessarily of just the game at hand, right? There are so many stories that have crossed over into general pop culture, and that's what you essentially want to have happen. It doesn't diminish the fact that it's soccer or football, right? We're calcio. But there is a desire there for a broader audience to put eyes on it, and that's how you essentially cultivate these crossover audiences that, yes, some of them will stick and suddenly have a new interest, and some of them will, you know, in passing, just know this one little blip about maybe one MLS team or NWSL side.
Right, and look, I am La Lucha, paid $10 for me to say this. A full $10, by the way, not $9.99.
$10.
He said, nah, Alexis is right, though. And even more so, right now, there's an opportunity to pick up fans for MLS. And it's teams with first generation Americans that many want their own team to die for that isn't dad. Their dad's. Mm-hmm. I assume is what he meant. And look, all great points. And I know, Enzo, I know you agree. And I'm only picking apart that one thing. And I want to say the last thing I'll say about this, because we do have to go, is that I found out there was a couple of really big name NWSL players, to your point, Christine Kupo. There were some big NWSL players who before the season all rented a house somewhere in Southern Florida.
Yeah, to do a little reality.
But they didn't film it that way. They just simply went, they trained together, and they filmed a couple of social media things. But imagine someone with a production company was like, you know what? Let's get everyone on a contract. We'll film it. Everyone splits whatever profit we make. But let's film it and let's turn this into a story. That alone would draw so many eyes to the league.
Yeah.
Especially if it was during the season. This would be huge. We do have to run. I just want to make that. But I do want to say a really cool thing. We're not going to have a show tomorrow. So if you're watching, Zachary Johnson just paid $5 for me to read this. With the Apple deal, MLS can be the first uncensored league to allow curse words and allow the coaches to go off. I like what you're saying. You're a big fan of WWE. Thank you for that. And for everyone who else wants to pay, just join the live. But I will say this. tomorrow
just
there
throw
no
money
show.
At us. We'll stay on.
So if you're watching this on Monday, we will not be live or have a show for you to watch on Tuesday. And if you're listening to this on Tuesday, there will not be a show on Wednesday because something really cool is happening that I really can't really talk about just yet.
Not yet. Just know that our next opportunity, very soon.
Now, our next opportunity to do a show will be Thursday. And unfortunately, I will not be here because I will be in Manchester, probably either crying tears of joy or tears of happiness. It'll either be a happy boner or a fear boner. One of the two.
I don't want to know what a fear boner is.
Now, but Christine Kupo, incredible job taking over for Christian. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Christine Kupo and David Goss, who filled in. While Christian will be here on Thursday to do the episode with a guest host. Unfortunately, I will not be here, but I will be checking in from Manchester.
We have to check in with you. Just send us something. Even if it's just a picture of you crying, I'll put it on the screen.
Oh, your boy don't cry, but I'll send you something. Maybe I'll send you the fear boner. I won't do that. It's a joke. It's a joke, everyone. This doesn't make it on the main show.
I take back my request to FaceTime me from the game. Yeah. God.
We're going to cut this, right? DraftKings don't want to hear that. Yeah, yeah. Shouts to the Coors
Light. I love you too, Zachary. Thank you.
Shouts to everybody who hung out in the chat. Enjoy the rest of your week. Hang out and find out something really cool if you watch us on Thursday and or listen on Friday. It's so dope, and I can't wait for you guys to see what it is. They've been working on this for a long time, and I'm really, really excited. It's just I'm really upset that I won't be here, but I know it's in good hands with Christian, and then I'll be back next week, and it'll be all good and gravy, and you guys will know the surprise. So check that out. Thank you for everyone who listens. Make sure you hit subscribe, hit the follow button. Christine Kupo, where can they find you?
Twitter, C Kupo, IG, Miss Kupo. Every week, Serie A. On that Serie A, I have a concurring episode of Called Show Numbers. And otherwise, I'm around. But thank you so much for having me.
It's been
a great time being substitute Christian. Thank you to the people of Blangola, Cooligan's audience. You guys are great. The chat is always lively. I appreciate that. You keep me up.
Thank you. Someone said dorking till I die. Travel safe. Cooligan's till I die. I love you all. Thanks for hanging out. Love you guys.
We are audiostack.ai.
Combining AI writing, the best synthetic voices,
with production and delivery.
Be it ads, podcasts, or VOs for video.
Just like this ad. How would you utilize AI audio? For free.
Go to audiostack.ai/contest.
Give us just a few details.
And you could replace this spot and be heard by millions.
See webpage for T's and C's. audiostack.ai/contest.